Yo, it's the DLP thing. The biggest matchup, both called, and a hot stakes of virtual college football. Let's get it. It's Saturday, the lights are bright. NDL game day, we taking flight. Lick, bring it deep, phonies on the grind. Penguins got the playbook, blowing your mind. Army's calling shots, Mark's breaking it down. Penny D's got the fire, that'll shake the whole town. Who's the champ, who's taking the L? Game day vibes, it's a show you can't miss, no sell. It's NDL, they play full flames, who won't tell? Game day's here, bring the energy, hype. The lead plan is right here on the mic.
Love watching that intro video. That's one of my favorite moments of the NDL most recently was that big LSU comeback win over Florida for lots of reasons. I'm here with Phony, Penguin, and Pat today. As always, we have a great show planned. We have a big matchup, UCF and Colorado, Coach Smitty and Coach D. Kennedy here on the show today. We have Coach D. Kennedy on here live with us right now. How's everyone doing today?
I'm doing great, Tim. Still recovering from this tough beginning of the week, but I'm here. I'm alive. I'm excited for this matchup in Central Florida here against Colorado. So I'm excited here. What about you, Penguin?
It'd be better if I was a polar bear, but I'm counting the days till spring and till the next college football season drops.
Yeah, just excited to have another new guest on here to, you know, talk to and get to know. Excited to have, just awesome per usual to be here. And sorry you guys are freezing your asses off. It's, you know me, it's about a cool 62 out here right now.
Speaking of cold, Penguin, that's what you've been talking about the last couple of weeks, is just how cold it is for you.
It's just the persistent cold. I mean, I've worked in Michigan in February for the entire month of February years ago doing stuff. So, I mean, I know cold, but I mean, just the persistent day in, day out cold. We had a stretch where I don't think we got above 25 degrees for like four straight days. And I mean, dude, I can feel every previous sports injury every morning growing up. I feel like I'm 60 right now.
Yeah, it's not too bad down here. We kind of miss that the winter storm here in Louisiana. It kind of went south of us down by New Orleans. Obviously got snow for like the first time ever, and everyone's seen the picture of the Gulf and stuff. And so we were kind of
you didn't even get any snow?
No, it just missed us, like just probably 10 minutes south of us. It was where it started snowing, and south of the interstate. So they have this they have this Barksdale bubble at the Barksdale Air Force Base in Shreveport, Louisiana, and we're 90 minutes from that. And it's this like weird scientific bubble that basically keeps weather away from the B-52 bombers there. And we kind of are on the tail end of that. And so like a lot of the big storms, tornadoes, thunderstorms and stuff like that, we just get kind of the rain and we kind of miss most of that. It's really weird. That's some like scientific alien type stuff there.
No, I get it. I mean, we're in the Tennessee Valley here, and where I, where my parents lived at, in just outside of Marietta, Georgia. There's a spot with one of the mountains right there, where pretty much all the severe weather just misses them. It's just because the way the mountain breaks up the systems coming in. So these things happen.
Well, we won't waste any more time for Coach Coach D, Big D. That's what he said he liked to be called. He's hosting, this is his third year, I do believe, with Colorado here. Off to a great start. Obviously, Coach Jiggy leaves the conference, which opens up the door. Not that he beat Coach Jiggy last year in the regular season, but really opens up the door for that conference, and Colorado and the Buffaloes off to a great start. Obviously, a big conference matchup here with UCF. Coach D. Kennedy, how are you doing today?
I'm good, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on and excited to do game day this morning.
That is your first time on the show, is that correct?
Yeah, first time on the show. Like you got it right earlier, third year in the league. So started off with Ball State, Smitty and Vegas were actually in the MAC with me at that time too. And then last year jumped over to the Big 12 with Colorado, decided to run it back this next year. So had a lot of turnover in the Big 12. Me and Smitty stayed, and I think Jason's now at Utah. Patty jumped out of there to East Carolina. So a lot of shakeup, but I decided to stay at Colorado and got off to a pretty good start.
Can I jump in there really quick? Not jumped out of there, fired out of there. Don't be kind.
Yeah, it's a tough win goal, man. I think that's 10 wins over there. So don't hang your head on that.
Yeah, D Candies. This phony. I'm gonna ask a question lead off here with a question for you. So with two of the main coaches leaving the Big 12 conference this season and going to the SEC, and you staying in a conference and with another year at Colorado, what is your outlook? What was your outlook coming into the season with some new coaches coming into your conference and just having that experience with the Colorado team? Did you have high expectations, playoff outlook? Kind of what were your expectations going into the season?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have referenced it a few times on this show. I think the more you play with these teams, the more comfortable you get. And Colorado is obviously offensively a fun team to play with. So I think I'm a lot more comfortable in the offense, not just Pepper and Travis Hunter with, you know, 12 targets a game, but actually mixing it around a little bit. And Sador's best QB in the game. And, you know, they've got a lot of good pieces. So I think getting more used to them has been, you know, has already paying off, I think, at the beginning of the season. And then you're right. I mean, we lost some really good coaches with Jiggy, Vegas, and then Kemp, who's now at Louisville, left too. And he was another playoff team last year. So a lot of turnover, but I know Jason's going to be good at Utah. They've got a great home field advantage. They've got a really good roster. Arizona's coach came from the MAC. He was at Colorado State last year. So he made a lot of noise there. So I know he's going to have a pretty good season. And then, you know, you can't overlook anybody in this league in any conference that you're in. Every coach is capable of winning. And even though we lost some big-time coaches, the conference is still pretty good.
Hey, Penguin here. I'm going to strongly disagree with the statement that any coach can beat you or win because of some personal experience and stuff I've had. But at the same time here, it's definitely – There's no debate that the Big 12 is weaker as a whole this season. Right now, how many teams, without naming names, do you think legitimately have playoff aspirations out of the Big 12?
So I think the Big 12 is going to get probably two bids this year, potentially three, but probably two. And when I look at the standings, I think there's probably four. Probably more realistically, but I'll say five teams kind of competing for those spots. So I know last year we had five. There's no way we're getting anywhere near that this year. I think three is a realistic number, and I think about five teams are going to be competing for those.
Very good. I also want to follow up and notice that you mentioned not just, you know, making Hunter the complete focal point, because obviously he's a special talent. So, I mean, you'd be a fool not to get the ball into his hands a lot. But I see you've even though your games haven't been close so far this season, so it's not a great indicator, you've definitely gotten Hood and Hayden a lot more touches this season. You want to elaborate on that and exactly how you've got to keep, you know, the running game to be able to balance so teams can't just sit on Hunter?
Yeah. I mean, you guys know up on this panel, the hardest thing in this game is to pass the ball. Like, everybody every day gets in the live chat, talks about how many interceptions they're throwing. So anytime you can establish a run game and take some pressure off your offense, you know, those plays are so much less risky. Where if you're back there airing it out 30, 40 times a game, yeah, that's fun, but you're going to rack up some interceptions too. So I've been able to get them involved. You know, still some other ways I want to get them involved along with a few other guys. But if you don't run the ball in this league, the way this game is set up, you're going to throw a lot of interceptions. So you got to balance it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I think Pat's got some questions too.
Hi, Coach D. How are you?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, living the dream. I want to kind of bring it back around to Hunter. I have never used Colorado, or, and you know, some people may not have either, but when you have a player that gets to play both ways, do you find yourself ever manually subbing him out? And also, have you noticed him, like, is it more noticeable as you calling the over and the D? Like, do you notice him more on D or more on offense that you're kind of paying attention to him? Does that make sense what I'm asking?
Yeah, it does. So, you know, I think you ask a really good question, because this game coming up with UCF, you know, it's going to be run heavy. And do I really want Travis Hunter over there on the perimeter getting his ass blocked all game, tiring him out, and then marching him out there on offense and trying to see if he can, you know, produce? So that's definitely something that I've thought of. He's got to have some of the best stamina in the game. Just because, you know, I rarely see too much wear and tear on him. Now, I have seen it before. So that's definitely a good question. It's something that I've thought through and I'm considering. As far as for me as the coach, on offense is where he's most impactful. On defense, you know, what they say in college and in the NFL is some of the best corners, you won't even hear their name called because they're not throwing their way. That's kind of, and to a degree, that's kind of how it is here. Most of the time, guys are going to other receivers on the opposite side of the field. So there's still an impact that he has on the defensive side of the ball, but offense is where he's scoring the touchdowns, is where he's making guys miss and kind of making the highlight plays. So he's impactful both places. I see it more on offense though.
Awesome. Good stuff, man. Thanks.
All right. I've got one more to throw in there. Coach D. Kennedy, finish the sentence. Colorado wins versus UCF if.
Well, I could be lame and just say if we score more points, but I'll actually try to answer the question how you want me to answer the question. I think it's just if Colorado doesn't turn the ball over, that's the big thing. Is Smitty in the audience yet? Yeah, he is. You can probably bring him up. He's got his hand raised. But the thing with Smitty is, like, people want to talk all about his offense because it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff, you know, that we're evaluating, and some people like it, some people don't. I personally don't really have a problem with it. But the best part about Smitty is his defense. If you watch the way he uses the middle of the field or the slot guy, that's his best part of his game, is his ability to play defense. So not turning the ball over versus him is going to be critical.
And Coach D, that brings up a good point, and I just want your random opinion on it. When so many people kind of focus on people's offenses, but no one ever really brings up some of the defensive usage stuff that we always talk about in the league. Why do you think, I just want your personal opinion, why do you think that is? Like, there's always been a lot of talk in some of, you know, conference chats, live chats, about the way people use their O, but no one ever really talks about the defensive side. Why do you think that is?
No, man, that's so many people just camp out and zone on defense. And to your point, sometimes it doesn't feel like it gets quite as much attention as some of the offensive play calling. I don't know, man, I'd have to think about that. I don't have a great answer for you. I think offense is kind of what people like looking at. It's more fun to watch points. You know, people scoring is what kind of gets the people going. On defense, I think you can just kind of camp out in your zone, mix it up, cover three, cover four, cover two. And for whatever reason, it just doesn't get quite as much talk. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah, the reason I had asked the question is a lot of people who do well so far in the league, sometimes there's been some talk about their offenses and what they're doing. But I've noticed, like you did, all those users, I couldn't agree with you more, that – like Jiggy, Smitty, even Dave, who went undefeated last year with UConn. Like, did you know all their middle linebackers have tons of interceptions? Like, that's just something that's completely overlooked. So I was just curious to get your thought on why maybe defense gets so overlooked, because you're another person that I've watched that has very good user skills over the middle. So thanks again for answering.
I think, yeah, and I think that's kind of where user skills stick out is on, I mean, offense is fun, like I said, but user skills stick out on defense. You can, and it's not even just user skill, just play recognition. You see what got play the guy's running, whether it's a cross or a slant or an outside pass. And if you can recognize that early and then adjust with your user skills, that's kind of what differentiates, you know, a good defender from a really good defender.
Yeah, Deacon D, I got one last question here for you. Being one of the newer guys, you came in what, season 29, start of the new game this season. How did you find the NDL? Did someone tell you about it? You just kind of come across it? Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. So I lived in San Diego for about 6 years, from 2016 to 2022. And I worked with Big Z for a while. So Big Z, the current San Diego State coach, worked with him. We're both in insurance. And I didn't even know NDL was a thing. Obviously, the game wasn't around back in those years. It had the hiatus. But we stayed in contact. And then once this game dropped, we start talking. And he kind of introduces me to the league, explains what it is. And I think it sounds awesome. So he gets me a link over to the waiting list. You know, I get in there after like a week or so, and then I'm in the farm for a week, and then I end up getting Ball State. So Big Z's who got me into it. He hyped it up big time. We're both huge college football fans. So I owe him a thanks for getting me in here.
Definitely. It's great to have you on here talking. We'll talk to you here later on in the show then.
Thanks, man.
One other question. We got a question from our audience here. Fired Up Chip wants to know if you've done any scouting. As we all know now, Smitty runs that option over there at UCF. Have you done any scouting, or how have you kind of prepared for the game this week?
Can you guys hear me?
There you are.
Again, yes.
So I've watched a few of his league games. You know, I would have liked to scout it a little bit more, but I'm unfortunately super busy, you know, with work and a lot of things going on. But, you know, he plays a crap ton of blitz games. I wish I could watch a little bit more of those. But just, you know, seeing how he runs the offense, seeing the things he likes going towards, you know, he's got tendencies just like everybody else that you lean on. So I have watched a couple games, but I think we're going to play Tuesday. Maybe I'll have a little bit more time to scout some more.
Yeah, that's it's not a lot of teams run the option in the league or online in general. So it's probably one of those things where it's just unique when you do play it, because you don't get to play it all the time. And I think someone did bring up a point in the chat that all three of the teams you mentioned that are really going to vie for that top spot in your conference, you guys all play each other this year. If I think that's what someone in the chat said. I didn't do any confirmation on that. It could be really exciting in the Big 12. We'll talk to Coach Smitty here in a little bit. But just talking about conferences in general, we're going to jump into some Power 4 conference talk here. Phony, what are some of the big surprises, teams on the rise, and the surprises out of the Power 4 conferences this year for you?
I'm going to start off with the Big 10. It's kind of tough going through all the conferences with the limited amount of games played, right? But some teams that's kind of stuck out to me in the Big Ten, especially USC and Wisconsin. They've both got some pretty big wins. Wisconsin's got a big win over Kansas. That's a good team. Missouri, same thing with USC over Michigan and Arizona, both good teams as well out of the Big Ten. Big 12, I was kind of looking at that. You still got your Colorado, UCF, Smitty's there, your two main ones, and also Kansas State and Utah's kind of a sleeper option I've looked at. Hasn't really played any big games yet, but teams to kind of look at. Then ACC, not much going on over there with surprises. Louisville's had a great season. I'm pretty sure they have a new coach there, so he's doing really good things. Over in Louisville's got a big game this block. Then SEC, a lot of good teams out of there, a lot of great coaches in SEC. Arkansas's having a great year, and TFAN, Doof at Vandy, both having great seasons and big wins early on in the season as well. So those were some of my surprise contenders early on in the season, and teams to look out for. Any surprises for you, Penguin?
Surprises, kind of a relative term, but I mean, if teams that would qualify as ones that they wouldn't necessarily think that they were going to be there, I'd say you definitely got to consider Arkansas. You know, Luis over there is, he's got a decent team in his second year, but still that 4-0 start definitely catches your eye. Also, stay in there. do fit Vandy. We know he's a good coach, but still, Vandy in the SEC, that's not a tough thing to do. That's a tough thing to do, to win a lot of games there. And both of those guys sitting at 4-0 really got to catch your eye. It'll be very exciting to see if either of them can retain that momentum. Also, we see strong starts from Fresno State. We know it's a good team, but see Chase out there with a 4-0 start. Makes it, he might be an early playoff contender. There's no surprise that Central Michigan starting out undefeated after winning the MAC last season. But new coach coming in, the one you fear at Middle Tennessee State, 3-0 starting out there. Conference USA between them and San Jose State. I think there's a really strong chance we might see a playoff team come out of the CUSA this year. Beyond that, I think most of it seems kind of what you'd expect, maybe. I still think, despite the early loss, I still think Tulane's going to be in the mix. But other than that, I think most of the conferences are as I would have expected anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any more teams to talk about. You and Phony covered all 134 of them there. So, no, I'm kidding. I would say biggest surprise in the Big 12 so far for me is going to be UCF. And I know that sounds funny because he obviously played in the championship game last year. But when you run a new offense, an option offense like that, it can still be difficult to score at times. And he's, you know, still putting up the points, 143 points in three games. I'm not like a quick math guy, but that's a little over 30 points a game. So he's definitely surprised me so far, just as like how he's handled business. I know that sounds weird to say, but like it's just been something that, you know, has been talked about a lot, and he's just pretty much doing his thing and doing something that isn't common and hard to do and a little old-fashioned. Big Ten for me is going to be USC. The team doesn't, oddly enough, for a USC team, doesn't have a ton of speed on offense, and he's managed to be playing really good defense. So only allowing 69 points in three games, you know, is very, very good with his schedule that he's had so far.
To be fair, the one time you see speed from USC is when the players are heading towards the transfer portal.
Yeah, it's been pretty ugly so far. Why do we don't have to talk about that. And then the ACC, here's someone to keep your eye out on. Lost his first game, but he's going to bounce back. The North Carolina Tar Heels, I think, will – they have no conference losses, right? They're 2-1, so it's basically like they're about to play their second season. And I know the favorites are going to be Louisville and Clemson, but do not sleep on that dude. Good coach. That's a good team there. And the way he plays football, that team stylistically fits his mold. And then last but not least, the SEC. I know it's been talked about, but Texas fan, T-Fan over there at Arkansas. Look, 4-0 is 4-0. In that conference, you need to get all the wins and momentum you can get because it just week to week that thing changes. It still cracks me up, even when you pull up the standings here, just how many ranked teams they have in the standings. So, they'll get updated. He's the one that doesn't have a ranking next to his name, right? So he's got to be the surprise of that conference so far.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my biggest, probably one of my biggest surprises this year's T-Fan starting 4-0, lots of talking. And my biggest, you just hit it, is that he's not ranked. Even when last week, when the rankings came out, he was 2-0 and as an SEC team, still not in the rankings. He's probably one of my biggest surprises. I think another big surprise is just the ACC. We knew that when, you know, Clemson and Louisville both got new coaches, we knew that that would change the landscape of the ACC. But now you're talking about a conference that's going to produce potentially two people from that conference, maybe representing them in the playoff. The only problem is going to be that big week 10 matchup, which I'm excited for, with Clemson, Louisville. Those guys are friends and they play each other in week 10. Is that they're going to probably, in, you know, what my assumption is they're probably going to both make it in the conference championship. I think Clemson's going to go undefeated. And I think Louisville's going to go in there with one loss. But those are probably my biggest surprises. Not necessarily surprises, but kind of surprises. When you come to the Power Four conference, we do have Like the Big Ten is kind of where they were last year. Is not a lot of games played right now. Kind of in the same boat. Is like who's the real Oregon, right? They're 2-0 this year. They don't have that. They haven't been upset yet. And so it's kind of like who is the Oregon team there? And then the SEC is kind of shaking out how we thought it would. Big Mike is putting together a great season already with some big wins for Florida, resume wise. And so I'm pretty excited. Vandy's going to shake up some of the SEC noise there. It's really exciting. Now, something that we could talk about is kind of who hasn't met expectations this year in the Power Four. Who were you high on before the season started and who kind of let you down? Obviously, Kager out there in Alabama, one of the biggest losses this year when you're talking about talent from the team. And so it'll be interesting to see if he can bounce back in the SEC. And then also, you know, I mean, that's really probably the biggest surprise for me. And then MGR out there in Nebraska, I thought that he would start off a little stronger. He's had some tough games, but being blown out in one of the games was just unexpected for me. And then obviously Penn State with the big upset loss. What about you, Phony? Do you have any big surprises on the other end?
Yeah, you touched on one of my big ones, which was, I think, probably all of ours, the Alabama one, right? And he lost to Colorado State, especially at home. But, yeah, like, looking at the ACC, right, we kind of, like you said before, we kind of knew both new users over at Louisville and Clemson, kind of what we're going to get from them. But seeing some of the returning coaches like SMU and Miami kind of struggling early on, Georgia Tech has a good coach, hasn't really found his rhythm yet either in the ACC. So the ACC in general kind of a little shocked them not competing, especially not being in conference play early on. Then Big 12 wise, not really much. We kind of knew what we were getting out of Colorado, UCF, some of the other coaches in the Big 12, but we just have a lot of new coaches there. Kansas was, especially with the team build over at Kansas, new user there after Jiggy left. I thought they'd be better early on, but they've had a tough schedule losing to Wisconsin and Tennessee to start the season. So maybe they'll bounce back and kind of make a surprise contender late in the season in the Big 12. Big 10, you kind of touched on that. Nebraska, kind of tough start, hard games. But for Eco Rep Michigan, kind of tough start there, tough schedule, lost to ND, Colorado, and USC to start the year. Tough schedule to start off the year for them. But third year at Michigan, I thought you'd have a better start to the season there in the Big 10. What you got, Penguin?
Is this where we usually lose him?
Oh, I think we lost him.
No, I was muted. I was talking to a child. All right. Sorry about that. The two that stand out to me, you've already talked about a little bit. And they've both, it's kind of not their fault because they've lost to good teams, but it's also their fault because you scheduled these teams, picked these teams. So, and that's got to be Miami and Michigan. Miami, obviously, I mean, that was a brutal start to the season when you've got both Florida and South Carolina early, but if you're going to be in the mix, going to live up to expectations, you got to win some of those. And right now, I got to say that with the games coming up, there's a real danger of it getting much worse in the coming weeks. And then Michigan as well, freak out there. You know, Michigan's got some limitations on offense, but I mean, that defensive line is absolutely fearsome. And at this point, to have lost and for those games not to have been particularly close, be it against good opponents, is a very rough start to the season. And I know that Minnesota game coming up is probably going to be pretty tough as well. So the hole could get even deeper. It's like they say, before it gets worse, it gets worse.
Big surprise, or, you know, slow start for sure. I have one in the Big 12. I thought Arizona, and it's early, would be a little more competitive in their first two games. I've watched him play in the past. He was Colorado State owner before, and a pretty very good offensive team in the game. And I just they're off to a little bit slower start than I was expecting. Kind of same boat with Oklahoma State as well. A little bit slow start there. Was expecting maybe a few more pre-conference wins. Obviously the ACC, and I, you know, hope he doesn't just go on a sabbatical, but SMU is a huge disappointment. Returning coach starts 1-3, giving up 150 points in three games. Or no, it's four games. Excuse me. I apologize. I misspoke. But still, a lot of points given up. Has not looked great out of the gate. SEC, people are being hard on Keg. He's 1-1. Yeah, it's a tough loss, but you know, he has another non-conference game. Go into the conference 2-1. Maybe he can bounce back. But I really can't talk poorly of anyone in this conference. You're looking at maybe having, after this block, possibly 13 out of the 16 teams ranked. So I have nothing else to add with that conference.
I think it's just the expectations in Alabama. I mean, that would go in real life, right? Like, let's say this is real life Alabama. They start off 1-1. You're going to be like hot seat instantly, right? Like, I mean, look at Ryan Day with Ohio State. Guy loses one game and everyone's like, fire him. And then he loses two games and they're like, our season's done. We're idiots. And I just think the expectations in Alabama are pretty high and they're taken high in the draft. And then to come out and kind of stumble out of the gates. And, you know, we did talk, I think Keg was on, he'd posted in one of the chats and stuff that it was warranted, you know, that he had high expectations for how he needed to perform and stuff. And so you talked about it earlier, Pat, taking on a new team with a new offense and new players can always be a challenge. And so that'll kind of leeway into the next guest that we have on the show today, Coach Smitty, who hosts a 34-7 overall record in the NDL. Still an elusive, he played in a national championship, but still an elusive conference championship, national championship, hasn't won one of those yet, but on the path this year for that Big 12 championship. How are you doing today, Coach Smitty?
Can y'all hear me?
Yep.
We can hear you.
Man, I'm doing good. Just hanging around the house, watching Coach.
Hey, Tim, you forgot to add in his intro the all-knower of ball. Coach Smitty right here.
Oh, man, let's not go there yet, all right?
Yeah, so, Coach Smitty, what brought you into the NDL? I know you've been on College Game Day before. I think you were on the first ever it might have been the first episode of College Game Day last season with against Baylor. Just kind of tell everyone in the league, what brought you to the NDL? How'd you find out about the NDL?
So I played in a ton of Madden leagues, and I was in a Madden league, and I played 2K league with a guy named Nub. And he told me about this league, and at first I thought it sounded kind of stupid because you can't recruit. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, well, I mean, if you get fired and stuff, that's pretty cool. So I just signed up. Actually, Nub got me and another guy to sign up. I tried telling him not to get the other guy to sign up because he was just going to quit. And he was Tulsa and got beat by Oklahoma the first year, like 35-0 and quit. And I love it. So I just hung around.
Yeah, Smitty, this is phony over here. So same thing with D Candy. You're new to this league in season 29 and started off with Toledo, phenomenal season there. Then took your talents to the Cyclones and Iowa State, another phenomenal season in the Big 12, especially with a bunch of great coaches there last season. Then you find yourself going to UCF this season. What kind of led you to UCF? And did you just not want to return? Or were you just trying to get a fresh team and making a big impact in a different conference?
So I wanted to be Navy. I've always loved the triple option. Our high school actually ran it a couple years ago with one of my buddies. He was the OC. I actually learned a lot about it whenever he ran it because I really didn't know a ton about it. So I ran like probably 20 or 30 blitz games with Navy, and I had talked to the Navy coach, and he told me he was going to get rid of them. And then the Navy coach that's actually coaching now, he wanted UCF or Navy. So I was kind of trying to talk him into picking UCF. And then when it got to my pick, UCF wasn't even in my thoughts. I was actually going to pick Oklahoma State. Of course, you know me, I like to run the football, so I think Ollie Gordon would have been pretty good. And I asked the question if I could put Boone at fullback, which in that offense, he's a perfect ace back. I mean, that's what he would be good at. And then they have two other guys with some talent that you can put on the slots. And I mean, for the offense I wanted to run, it was a perfect fit. You know, I'm starting a quarterback that has, I think it's option, whatever the ability is. And I didn't even know my backup. Hell, my backup's got that. I don't even know what it's called, but I can see the whole field and blitzing. Didn't even know that till last week. So that's kind of where I'm at. I want to be a different team every year. My favorite team's Tennessee. So obviously with Vegas getting them, I have to watch that brutal stuff. And I'm just kidding, Vegas. But I'll never get Tennessee. He'll be Tennessee, and that's fine. I'll keep being a different team every year.
That's good to hear. I'm surprised Army wasn't on your list when you had Navy there. So,
well, I did like Army. I did like Army, but I felt like I could compete with Navy because of their defense. Army's defense is slow as turtles. So, like, when you know, and I think I could be okay with Army, but when you play people that know how to use speed, you know, you're not gonna. It's really put you in a bad spot on defense.
All right, Coach. Hey, Smitty, Penguin here. Are you as Southern as you sound?
Yes. In the other league, we used to have a podcast in this league. We was in 220, and my name in there was Smitty, but the guy that hosted the show would call me Country Boy Smitty. So, like, I tried telling everybody and warning everybody how country I was going to sound. But, I mean, I know this is going to sound crazy. I'm not even close to the countryest dude around where I live. Not even close. It just sounds like it.
I believe you. Okay, so give me a number here. How many animals have you eaten that you've personally killed?
Oh, that's not a good question, man. I've had quail, rabbit, deer, obviously. Turkey. But see, that's the thing, man. I used to hunt with my dad back in the day, but I hate hunting. I got to the age of about 14, and my dad would wake me up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go look at an animal run across the woods and go kill it. And like, I have no desire. I'd much rather sleep. So my dad still hunts this day. I think it's dumb as hell. So I'm out on it. I don't like that gamey taste anymore. I can't really do it, man.
All right. Last question then for me. Copenhagen or Redman?
I've never dipped in my life, so I can't tell you.
Okay. So not quite that. Okay. Fair enough. Pat?
What's up, Smitty? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Good. You know, you and I obviously chat a lot on Discord, and just kind of wanted to wait to ask you this question here live to make things super awkward. No, I'm kidding. But why is it that people, especially with what you're running, there's been a lot of talk about it, and I think I have an idea on why people are not up in arms about running the flex with a team that maybe doesn't run it in real life. But what are your thoughts after just seeing feedback from people and coaches and why you think something like that would get a bad rap? Because I have a thought on it, but I think I'm super interested to hear what you think about it.
That's a tough question. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, if somebody else was running what I'm doing, they would be just loving it and praising it. And I don't know why everybody got so much hate on me. I really don't, especially Vegas. I really don't have a problem with him. If it was on the outside looking in, if somebody was doing this with UCF before I got in this league, I would have said that I don't think it's right. I don't think it's realistic. But y'all have kind of showed me that, you know, just because UCF don't do it in real life don't mean it's, you know, unsim. So I really don't know. I do think it's funny that there's a lot of people trying to do the flex bone more now because they think it's so easy. Right. I was watching Vegas, and I think it was the UCLA guy and Kansas State guy last night running option stuff, and like it's not, if you don't know what you're reading and you don't know what you're looking for, you're not going to be successful doing that. A lot of people have rocket tosses in their playbooks. And that, when I played the first season with Toledo, and I had played like two guys that were doing rocket tosses and then going to five wide. That is not, to me, that is not sim at all. That's just not.
Preach.
That's not how a team would, you just don't, people don't understand. When you're going into practice for a week, you're not going to sit there and throw in flex bone for a couple plays and then run your five wide offense. That's just ain't how it works in real life. But teach their own, do what you want to do. I just wanted to show everybody what the flex bone really looks like, what it's supposed to look like. Are there good plays in it? Absolutely. Is the rocket toss a good play? Absolutely. But you can stop rocket toss. You can stop every play, but it's just a good offense to run. I know a little bit about it. I'm not the best option guy in the world, but I do feel like I know what I'm looking for. And people get mad if you run, for example, the TCU guy got mad because I was running the ball on him. But what he doesn't understand is when you run the same defense against triple option, when you run the same defensive front, I'm not going to run a certain play because you're going to stop that play. The defense for the option dictates what the offense does. You have checks at the line every single play. You know, if you're running midline right and you got a nose technique, a one technique, you're not going to run midline right. You're going to switch it to the left and run it to the three technique. And that's little stuff that a lot of people probably don't know. You know, if you're just running midline to run midline on NCAA, you don't really know what you're looking at. You're not going to be very successful at it.
And to follow up on this, because I think this is my personal opinion, and I want to see what you maybe think about it, is obviously you've mentioned that you coach football. When you are playing, most teams run spread now, then all of a sudden you're practicing spread, you know, or just maybe 3-by-1 stuff. All of a sudden, now you have this team that shows up with an offense that's like hard to practice against and things like that and figure out. Like someone asked Coach D earlier, are you going to watch any of Smitty's games before you play him to like pick something up? Do you think any of that has to do with it? Is people get frustrated because they just don't know how to stop it because it's an irregular thing that they see?
I do. You know, it is tough to stop. If you've never played against, if you've never really worked on it, it is tough to stop, but the reality is in the world we live, the college football game we live in now is you're going to get on NCAA and you're going to want to throw the ball and go five wide and run RPOs because that's what's new and sexy. That's it. So like people say I play boring because I don't do that. You know, that's fine, but you know, that's just me. I like running the football. So they're going to have a hard time stopping. There's so many people, not just in this league, I mean all over, that don't know how to stop the run. And it shows by what play you pick, what formation you're in. When guys are trying to stop the run and they get in a nickel defense, I just think it's hilarious because that ain't how you're going to stop the run, man. I mean, that's just not how you're going to do it. And then you get in these defenses, a nickel, 3-3-5, whatever all those defenses is, and you got three down linemen, and then you're putting a defensive end at defensive tackle trying to stop the run. Like that ain't how you're gonna do it, man. I think it's hilarious because I'm a runner.
Keep some of the secrets to yourself now.
Well, I'm just trying to help some of these guys out, man. I mean, the top guys are still gonna do what they do. So like, you know, they're gonna try to put the best speed, and I used to do that. Try to put the best speed across your whole D line, but then they're mad because you're running a 6-yard halfback dive. But I mean, you got somebody light as my daughter, my 4-year-old daughter at defensive tackle, and I've got a 350-pound guard.
Amen, man. Appreciate you answering my questions. I know it can be tough being on here, not, you know, knowing what's coming your way. So appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir.
Tim?
Yep.
Sorry.
Oh, hey, all good.
Smitty, we got a question here from the fan here. Fired up Jim wants to know why you were late to the Endale Game Day show.
Ooh, man, that's a... Well, I can't really get into all that, but I was kind of, you know, the kids are asleep. Me and my wife was just kind of hanging around for a minute before we got up. So I'll just let that be.
You know, I tell my kids this all the time, is that excuses are like assholes. Everyone has one and they all stink.
That's fair.
I'm going to chime in and say that's the best answer I've heard to a question since we've been doing this show.
I have a feeling my man was late, and I'm actually super stoked that he was late today, now that I figured out that little hidden message. Good for you, brother.
I woke up this morning neutral on Smitty, and I've become a Smitty fan in the last 10 minutes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was Smitty's big thing when he wanted to come on the show, was that he's like, man, I just don't know how the fans are going to like me. I'm like a villain in the league. And I was like, man, I'll tell you what, for whatever reason, every time people leave the Game Day show, people are like heroes. They're not villains. And so I think,
I think Smitty he thinks he's a villain because he wants people to not like him. I think he's full of shit. He's not a villain. He just wants to be one.
Oh man, that's good.
Hey, we have another question from Sammy for you, Schmitty. He wants to know, from a defensive standpoint, is there any coach that you really enjoy playing that seems to challenge you, maybe the style they play, the user skills, etc.?
I think Pat does a really good job of he knows what he's doing. His user skills are not as good as somebody like South Carolina's guy. Coach D at Colorado's got very good user skills. Obviously, Jiggy's got very good user skills. I guess that's a really tough question, because there's so many good guys that have good user skills that, you know, I hate playing guys that just run up and hit stick every single time. It drives me crazy. So whenever I play somebody that just hits sticks all the time, I'll run out of bounds, or I'll dive down on the ground. It just ain't even worth fumbling. But LSU's guy hits sticks really good. Colorado Coach D hits sticks really good. So like when we're running triple option this week, I know he's going to be hit sticking. We're just going to be running around him and trying to dive down on the ground, not fumbling.
Awesome. Coach Smitty, I don't have any other questions. Do you guys have any other questions for Smitty right now?
No, man. You've been great. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Coach Smitty, you can stay on the show. You'll join us as the NDL Game Day guest. Pick him a little bit later in the show. Next, we're going to just jump into something. We haven't really talked about any of the player awards, anything like that. And so we'll kind of talk about who our early season favorite for the Heisman is. I know it's kind of early. We're only approaching block three, but we are seeing some separation with some guys in the league. You know, for me, if I had to pick five, which is a pretty big number, but just looking at the statistics and stuff that are going on in the league, I think probably the early favorite for me would be Oklahoma's Gabe Sawchuk, running back. Oh. He has 9 touchdowns, 630
yards. Like how Tim went first.
Yeah, right. I want to hit this up first so I get all these players. No, I definitely know I'm going to have some players you guys don't have. Obviously, R.J. Harvey, UCF, he has 9 touchdowns, almost 600 yards. John Mateer, I'm biased. A shout-out for my Washington State quarterback. He has 14 total touchdowns this year. Trey White, 6 sacks with San Diego State University. And then Trudell Berry out there in Vanderbilt, kind of anchoring down that defense. He's got 5 interceptions and 2 fumbles forced with recoveries. I think those would probably be my 5 early favorites. Obviously a lot changes when you get into the conference play, but from my experience in the NDL is that usually the stats are pretty inflated. the first 4 weeks. The first 4 to 5 weeks of those out-of-conference games, the stats are pretty inflated, and they kind of come back to real life when you get into that conference play and you have tougher teams playing each other. But what about you, Phony? Who's your early favorite for the Heisman?
Yeah, you kind of touched on a couple guys. I think Pat kind of said the same thing. Took a couple of our guys there, running back at Oklahoma and Washington State's quarterback, right? But I think there's no surprise with Caleb Johnson being up there for all of us either. He's having a great year. I think he's going to stay there all year long as well, with 640 yards, averaging almost 7 yards per carry on 6 touchdowns as well. Then a quarterback for me, which I think he was in the Heisman race last year as well, if I'm not mistaken, is TCU's quarterback, Josh Hoover. I don't know much about him. I've never played with TCU, but he's having another great year over there, almost 1,300 yards, 70% completion percentage, 16 touchdown, 4 interception ratio. So if he can keep that up, especially in the Big 12, he's going to stay there just like he was last year. So those are kind of couple guys I've got on my watch list. What I'm gonna throw out a surprise though that's not up there for me is Ashton Gentry. I don't know what's going on over there with Rock, but I think he'll pick it up, and you might see him in there later in the season as well. What about you, Penguin?
Well, I gotta say that Hoover out of TCU is a fantastic pick. You're right, he was in the mix last year, and he's got a great touchdown interception ratio. I think it's 16-4 so far. And I mean, you gotta think that not only with Sawchuk over at Oklahoma, I mean, good stats to start, and you just know how they play, that he's going to keep racking up the yards in that offense. But I'm going to go jump over to the defensive side of the ball and say that there's a couple players early piling up some numbers that got to make you wonder if they're going to throw their face into the mix, name into the mix there as well. And those are going to be Brandon Buckner of Middle Tennessee State. He's a defensive end who's already got 5.5 sacks on the season. And also Trey White at San Diego, 6 sacks currently leading the nation. You know, a big sack season from a mid-major school could definitely make some noise. And one last one, you got to jump into that Oklahoma defense as well. You know, they're going to get a lot of interceptions. And Jared Konak, if I'm saying that right, linebacker there. You know, I'm saying at minimum, we're going to see double-digit interceptions out of him this season. So if he gets great tackle numbers as well, you might see a linebacker in the mix for Heisman this season.
Yeah, those are all really good choices. I'm actually going to refer back to our opening show. I picked Dylan Gabriel to, I believe, win the Heisman. Now, someone said earlier, Oregon's only played 2 games. Well, they've only had 2 on their schedule so far. So, I mean, it is what it is. But listen to this. 35 of 44, so only 9 incompletions on the season. 612 yards, 80% passing percentage, and 8 touchdowns, only 2 picks. So that's a hell of a start there in Oregon. And then the other one that no one has said is actually Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado. If I believe, he has only thrown 7 incompletions on the season, 5 touchdowns, no picks. Obviously, touchdown passes sometimes are inflated. How many times have we all coached a team and you get a nice reception down to the 2? You know what I mean? Really should be a touchdown pass, but probably going to eventually be a rushing touchdown. So I haven't really dove deep to see how much, you know, how often Colorado's gotten down there close to the goal line and then ran it in. But other than that, really that Oklahoma running back, his name is escaping me right now and the dang stats page isn't loading up. It's got
Sawchuk.
Sawchuk. There it is. Just loaded up. I mean, almost 12 yards a carry. It's crazy. And has played some good teams in the preseason. I believe Florida State and Tennessee are 2 of those opponents on the schedule that he's played. 9 touchdowns, no fumbles, long of 81. And again, 12 yards per carry is ridiculous. So he's obviously going to be the early favorite.
Candy, if you had to pick one player to vote for right now for the Heisman, who would it be?
Sawchuk from Oklahoma for sure, man. No doubt.
But you
know, well,
Did you say what about me?
Correct.
Man, that's tough because, you know, I'm going to probably say RJ Harvey out of UCF. That coach over there is just doing some good things with him. I would say Oklahoma's guy, Salchuk, for sure.
That'll be really interesting. Obviously, there's lots of football to be played still. We're only entering into block three here. Next, we're going to jump into a completely different sport here. Well, same sport, but different league here. Real life NFL playoffs tonight. We talked about it a little bit last week. It was kind of fun. We got the Washington Redskins, or Commanders, as some people like to call them. And then against the Philadelphia Eagles, that game's kicks off tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern or Central Time. And then 5:30, the Bills and Chiefs take it on. Phony, who do you have in those matchups?
So Chiefs Bills, I kind of go back and forth with it. It's like, I want to see history, but the Bills fans just deserve something, you know? So I'm going Chiefs in there. I'm an Eagles fan. So Andy Reid's got a place in my heart, and I love to see him win. Love Pat Mahomes. I just want to see Pat Mahomes make history. So I'm going Chiefs in that game. Then same thing on the other side. Like I want to see, I don't think a rookie quarterback's ever made the Super Bowl. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Jaden Daniels is having a great year in Washington. But I'm going with my Eagles. I want that rematch in the Super Bowl from a few years back. So I'm going Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl, but I want the Chiefs to make history. What about you, Penguin?
Well, there's what I want to happen, and there's what I actually think will happen. What I want to happen, like pretty much any football fan with a soul that doesn't actually live in Kansas City, is I want to see the Bills get back. And I think it'd be a really great thing for the sport for them to get there and perhaps even lift the trophy. I have absolutely zero faith that there's any possible chance of that happening, given the home field and the fact that that game will not be played on an even field because you know how the officiating is going to go.
Oh, here we go.
And then on the other side, pipe down, Pat, you'll get your.
Unbelievable.
I'd prefer to see the Eagles win. Partially because, you know, there's several players on there I like. They've got one of my favorites, Knowles, the past few years, and Josh Sweat over there. But Daniels is dynamic. I mean, he hasn't looked ineffective since the Knowles shut him down to start the season 2 years ago. This year, if he wasn't a rookie, he'd be in the MVP conversation. And I think he kind of keeps that magic going. And I think he takes the Commanders, or Redskins, if you prefer, to the Super Bowl. And I think there's a chance they may pull away from the Eagles, not just beat them, but beat them decisively.
So I think both teams, or both NFL games, obviously we're going to talk about the offenses and things like that, but both defensive coordinators for both teams that I think are going to win, that's Vic Fangio. And Spags, they're going to dial it up. The Eagles have an awesome D-line, which is huge in the NFL. You need to have a good quarterback in the NFL, and then right after that, you need to have someone that can cause disruption, because the NFL is one read, maybe a second read, and then it's all just athleticism and what you can do. I think the Daniels thing is a nice story. I think most people outside of, you know, Philly, no offense, Phony, really don't like the Eagles, so they want to see them lose because of their fan base. You know, booing people when they have possible broken necks out on the field and stuff. It's weird behavior. I hope the Redskins win, but I think the Eagles will overpower them at home. And then the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I'll root for them. I think they're well coached. Yeah, Mahomes, I didn't like the way he tried to take advantage of the rules last week. I don't like watching that stuff. However, I just absolutely love that Travis Kelce just kind of chilled out for 17 weeks this year and then just in the playoff game just continue to do what he does. And then I mentioned it last week, and I hope some of you guys watched him. Chris Jones is ridiculous. I think he's the best player on defense in the NFL. He may not have the stats or the sacks. Again, try to watch him tomorrow. It's unbelievable. He'll play the zero technique, and then he'll line up at D end and rush the passer, and he just disrupts every single play. And I think they get it done tomorrow. I saw a stat that Mahomes is 7-for-7 in drives with 1 minute or less in a game to close it out when either trailing or tied in playoff games. So I'll just kind of keep rolling with the odds.
So we bring up stats. I was listening, I think it was this morning or last night, and the Washington Commanders, which I thought was interesting. They didn't have a single sellout this year in the NFL. They're the only team that that made the playoffs that didn't. The only sellout game they had this year was when they played the Eagles in the regular season at home, and that was because of the Eagle fans. There were more Eagle fans than Redskin fans, which I just found interesting. I think the Eagles are going to run all over the Redskins. I hope they don't, just because I'm cheering for former Seahawk coaches and stuff that I enjoy coach out there in Washington. But I hope the Bills beat the Chiefs for all the same reasons Penguin said. I think their fan base deserves it. It'd be fun to see Josh Allen, who I think is probably one of the best offensive players in the NFL, definitely this season. I think it'd be fun to see him play in the Super Bowl, get that opportunity. And I wouldn't mind seeing the Bills win the Super Bowl. I still remember, roughly as a kid watching the Bills play, and that didn't go so well for them. So what about you, Smitty, or DK, anything about the NFL?
Yeah, I like Eagles tomorrow. Jalen Carter on that defensive line is a force, man. When they drafted him out of Georgia, I was working with a guy who's a big Eagles fan, and I try to tell him he's going to be one of the best defensive players in the league in a couple years, and I think he's already starting to do that. So I like Eagles, and then pretty much echo what everybody else says. I'd like to see the Bills win. I'm a big Josh Allen fan. But I'm also have a season-long bet with the Chiefs that they make the playoffs. So I'll be cheering for the Chiefs, but I wouldn't be too disappointed if Allen finally makes a Super Bowl.
I personally think the Chiefs are going to win. It's just hard to go against, I think Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Actually, I think Joe Burrow is, but I don't want to get on that. Pat Mahomes is phenomenal. I don't think Josh Allen can beat Mahomes. I would rather watch five or six guys get it on than the Eagles win another game, but I think the Eagles are going to beat the Commanders, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope Jalen Daniels, I hope he gets it done, because I'm a Cowboys fan, so like neither one of them teams I care about, but I would rather Daniels win than the Eagles. I hate the Eagles coach. I hate Hurts. I don't like AJ Brown. I don't like many. I don't like their fans. So I'm hoping it's going to be the Commanders and Chiefs, but I think it will be the Chiefs and Eagles.
Razorback asked in the chat if we could get my thoughts on Pete Carroll to Las Vegas. Yeah, I was talking to my kids and my wife about it last night, and I'm happy for him. I think it was time for the Seahawks to move on from Pete. Obviously, he changed the culture in the organization in general in Seattle. I've always loved Pete, even from his early days, even prior to USC. I loved his energy and just his philosophy, read his books. I think he'll do good things in Los Angeles. I'm really excited. The thing I'm most excited about to see what he kind of compromises as a coaching staff up there, and who he gets rid of up there will be the big thing. And so I don't mind it. It's in the AFC, and so it'd be fun. It doesn't bother me. It would really suck if he wouldn't have went to somewhere in the conference in the NFC or something like that. But next up, we'll just kind of jump into our NDL game day pick'ems here. I'll bring up the stats for this year so far. I know Penguin, do you have any comments or anything about your stellar record this year so far?
I still think Kentucky should have pulled that game out. Other than that, it's been pretty strong so far. If I could just apply through my hands to the controllers what I feel I know about these games, I'd be a lot happier with my results. But in the meantime, I'll settle for being at least smart, but not able to play well.
And then what about you, Phony? You're on the opposite side as Penguin here.
It's kind of tough. All I'm gonna say, it's been a rough start of the year, crap. Just in general, it's been a rough start. We're just gonna say that. Not a good start to this year.
I'm gonna assume all the listeners out there can see the stats if they can. Phony's record is 3-7 this year picking games. So obviously, if you picked your team to win, you should probably be a little worried. We have Penguins sitting at the top at 9-1, both Pat and I at 8-2. And so we'll kind of just jump right into this. I'll lead off the first game here. Vanderbilt at Tennessee. I think their records, I think Vanderbilt played a couple more games. I think they're 4-0 now. And they're playing Middle Tennessee State, who's 3-0. So that's a 7-0 matchup between the two teams. Coach Doof doing great things out there in the SEC with Vanderbilt. I think that this game also is at Middle Tennessee State, but I don't think the home field advantage is really going to matter. There is a – Coach Doof's a great coach, and his team's just an overall better team than Middle Tennessee State. I think he's going to have all the answers. His defense is on fire this year. I got Vanderbilt winning. What about you, Phony?
Yeah, I've got right there with you. Vandy, I've watched Doof a few times this season already. It's tremendous on offense, just like you said, and just insanely great on defense as well. So he's doing great things. I think he's got that Vandy team figured out pretty quick, so he's going to be dangerous going forward. So I got Vandy there.
Makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Vandy has been good. They've beaten USC. They've beaten UNC as well. And I believe the USC game, was that on the road? Yes, that was on the road even. Having said that, it is a road game versus an upstart underdog in Middle Tennessee State. If this game were like on a Thursday night or something, I think, maybe some magic could happen. But frankly, I think Vandy's got enough of that underdog in them with the schedule they have coming up in the SEC that they're not going to get caught looking ahead past anyone. And while I think Middle Tennessee State keeps it close, I think Vandy pulls away and wins by about 10 points.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with everybody else. I think Vanderbilt takes care of business. Middle Tennessee State been impressive so far, but Diego Pavia, I know we spoke about Heisman's earlier, also putting up great numbers. He could be in the conversation even. 1,100 yards, 11 TDs, only 3 picks. 75% completion percentage. So, yeah, I think he wins big, to be quite honest with you, by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I've got Vandy as well. I've been pretty impressed with Coach Doof. He had a great year last year at ULM. I know in the chat he was talking about joining the Big 12, so I'm kind of glad he didn't, glad he decided to go on to the SEC. But I've got Vandy, and I've got them also winning pretty big.
Vandy 21+.
That's straight Vandy picks across the board. There, good to hear. We're gonna move on to our next game. Big ranked matchup here. Number 14 traveling to South Bend against number 9 Notre Dame. Rain has faced Louisville the last couple of years, but Louisville's got a new coach going into this season that has done great things the last couple seasons. So, Rain at Notre Dame for the third straight season, looking to bounce back after a little rough year last year. I'm going Notre Dame here. I'm taking the Fighting Irish at home, of course. Shouldn't be a surprise there. I hope they just don't break my heart again like they did Monday night. So I'm going Notre Dame here. Close game by 3 points.
I kind of feel where you're coming from there. If this game were at Louisville, I would definitely be tempted to side with them, given the success that Coach Mike has had at Cincinnati previously. But Rain is playing at home, and he knows his team as much as anyone, and their defense has been quite strong to begin the season. I think those factors combined together, I think it's a close game still, but I think Notre Dame wins, and I think they control the game for the most part.
Yeah, so I'm going to go in the opposite direction. The home field advantage thing is definitely the biggest caveat, because I have watched Louisville's coach play a lot, and he hot routes a ton, which is going to be tough with that crowd, right? So I think they will hopefully take the crowd out of it early. Runs the ball really well. He's got Isaac Brown with 340 yards, 5 touchdowns, and then an 83% completion percentage for Tyler Shough. So I think Louisville wins. It's one of those he'll have the ball last and win the game right down to the wire.
Yeah, I think for me, this is probably my favorite matchup of the week, other than me and Smitty playing. You know, Rain's obviously one of the seasoned vets. Temp is a really good young coach. I think his record's like 20-3 overall. I think it's really going to come down to Louisville's front seven, and their defense is actually pretty highly rated. I was surprised to see that the other day versus Notre Dame's rushing attack. I think whoever wins that matchup is probably going to end up winning the game. And I'm also going to take Louisville in a three point win.
Is it me?
Look alive, Smitty.
I got you. I think the Louisville coach is very good, even though he gave me a terrible coach report. That's all right. He's really good. He knows the game in and out. And if this was at Louisville, I would pick Louisville. But like I think it was Pat said, you know, he hot routes a lot. And at Notre Dame, you ain't hot routing shit. So I'll go ahead and take Notre Dame. But I think it's going to be really close, probably 3 to 7 point game.
Yeah, so I think that I'm kind of with both of you guys. I think this is definitely going to be, like Pat said, a game where someone's going to have the ball at the end of the game. I think what the big payoff here is going to be Notre Dame's at home, which is going to bode well for him. Mainly like what Smitty said, Mike's not going to be able to make those pre-snap adjustments out there in Louisville, as well as I think the way Rain's playing this year is he's back to patient football, right? He's playing his football. He's not jumping into what the other team's trying to dictate him to do. And so I think Notre Dame's going to win a really close game. I think it's going to be a great game. Two different, completely different contrasting game styles. And I think Notre Dame's going to come out with the victory here.
All right. Moving right along, we've got Wisconsin traveling to USC. Teams are we've got a 2-1 versus a 3-0 team. The Badgers have so far have won one road game against Missouri last week. The Trojans, we've had some mixed results where they fell to Vanderbilt, pretty decisive game early, but they did bounce back with a pretty good win at Michigan. Given all this, and then USC of note, guy we actually didn't mention in the Heisman stuff, maybe we should have, is Zachary Branch has thrown up a ton of yards and touchdowns already, and is averaging more than 40 yards a reception to this point. Given Branch's explosiveness and this game being at USC, I got to slide with the Trojans to take this one.
So what? One thing I will never do in my life is pick USC.
Oh, God.
So this is the easiest choice I've ever made in my life. I'm going with Wisconsin here by 2 scores. I think RB has his defense playing really well. I've seen him playing against Missouri. He's looked really well in that game. I think Tyler Van Dyke at quarterback, he's performed pretty well as well. So I think he just knows that team a little too well, and I think he's going to win by 2 scores traveling to USC.
You know, I think it's great. This is how much Phony hates USC. He actually jumped in way out of turn and just got in there and said, there's no way in hell he's picking SC. So I respect the hate a lot. I'm going to be honest with you. No research is done on this game. No offense, RB and the SC owner. I'm always going to pick USC every time. You know, mom worked there for 40 years. They declined me 3 times, my application to get in. Just love the school. So, yeah. It's gonna be SC every time.
Yeah, this is another one. I don't know too much about these coaches. I have played RB before, so I'm gonna end up taking Wisconsin by about a touchdown.
You're never coming back.
I wanted to take Wisconsin until my man Phony picked them, and his record just ain't very good. So it's kind of making me lean towards USC. But I'm gonna go with Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin coach gets it done. I like how he plays.
Yeah, I trust a smart guy over here.
Yeah. So this is one of those toss-up games. I really didn't want to pick against RB. I think there's a little bit of speed on the USC roster there. I think Branch is going to be a difference maker in the game. I think he's going to be game planned against, but I still don't think it's going to matter. I think the game's close, but I think he pulls away. Plus, I'm the same as Schmitty, as I was a little worried that Phony picked Wisconsin, and so I picked USC. Jeez. So, Phony, if you wouldn't have picked out of turn, I may have picked Wisconsin, right? So you get for picking out of third.
Oh my gosh, sorry. Our next game is going to be the modern day hate rivalry between Georgia Southern and Georgia State, both 1-0. Coach Toro, long time veteran in the NDL, facing off against Big Red 1300. I'm going to go with Georgia Southern on this one. I liked what I saw out of his team in the first game. Very efficient on offense. One touchdown pass and then three touchdowns rushing. Looks like he pounded the rock, about 6 yards of carry for the team. So I'm going to take Georgia Southern in this one and pass it on over to our two guest pickers, see what they think. Hopefully Smitty's awake and with us.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Southern as well. I was kind of looking at their roster, looking at some of their prior games. It looks like they force a lot of turnovers. So I kind of think this is going to end up being a low-scoring game with a late takeaway probably making the difference.
I don't know who Coach Big Red 1300 is. I don't know Coach State or Georgia Southern, but I'm all fucking in on that. So go ahead and give me Big Red 1300.
Coach Smitty, was that a duck in the background?
I hope not. Shit. If it is, I don't know no ducks around here.
So, I mean, I'm kind of the same boat as you. So Big Red's a new coach in the league this year. The Coach Toro, obviously, very long NDL coach. I'm with you, though. I think that we're going to see some excitement from the running back there, Georgia Southern. I have Georgia Southern winning a close game.
Well, I think I'm the only person that picked Georgia State. This thing ain't looking good for Georgia State, so I'm going Georgia State here. I don't know much about both teams. I need to pay attention to this game. I got to see how this turns out so I can kind of come back to this game for all y'all. So
Sammy in the chat said this is the week you turn it around, and it may be.
Hey, maybe it is
against us in every single one of the
matches. Yeah, so Georgia State, please pull through. I'm gonna be tuning in, so don't let me down this week.
When they said trust your instincts, I think we all know who they weren't. So this one, as people have said, you know, the Georgia Southern running back has looked pretty good so far. Coach Toro's a longtime vet. Technically argue he's got a little more talent, and he's at home. But, and I could dive into some other things, but I mean, we all saw who picked Georgia State, so obviously I'm picking Georgia Southern.
Oh, that's some good stuff. So next up, we're going to talk about a little bit bigger matchup here. Obviously, we've had Coach Vegas on the show several times here. They're currently ranked number 2, Tennessee at unranked Arkansas. Home game for Arkansas. I think both teams will have a change in the rankings. Tennessee will probably fall down a couple with their loss to Oklahoma. And then Arkansas will probably move up in the ranking being 4-0. The Massey ratings love Arkansas, have them at number 1 currently. So both of these teams will be ranked pretty high, you know, be ranked when this next matchup takes place. For me, Arkansas had a great season so far. I think T-Fan's doing great things there in Arkansas. Coach Vegas, great coach, obviously seen the playoffs with Baylor. Tennessee's a way better roster. I think that this will be a close game in the first half. I think Vegas is just going to slowly pull away in that second half. I think some costly turnovers by the Razorbacks is probably going to put them in the on the outside in here. I got a Tennessee win in here.
Yeah, Vegas had a tough game against Oklahoma last week, right? Great coach, great team there. Way better than Arkansas, you would think, right? T-Fan doing great things over in Arkansas, putting together a 4-0 record. And he's playing at home here against Tennessee, so I think Tennessee and Vegas are going to be on the ropes here after that big loss to Oklahoma. And that's going to be in the back of his mind, expressing another loss to Jiggy. So I'm going to go Arkansas with T-Fan pulling off a massive upset at home here. And fans are going to storm the field after this game. So who pig?
Well, I can definitely see the logic behind picking T-Fan in Arkansas to pull this off here. They have looked pretty good. They do have the home field. And Tennessee does bring a young quarterback who is very susceptible to, you know, playing on the issues of, that come with playing on the road in the SEC. And if Tennessee, but what makes me lean towards the Vols is they've been battle tested so far this year. They passed the one test versus Virginia Tech, and they didn't do so well versus Oklahoma. But the fact is that they have played those games, they have been tested, so there won't be anything new they haven't seen in this game. And for that reason, I think they take care of business and they win.
Yeah, it's a good pick. This is the one game this week that I really had a very difficult time choosing because of that home field advantage. When with Vegas, great coach, obviously, for a while now. And here's the deal. When you take a loss like he did against Oklahoma, I mean, absolutely taken to the woodshed, if he's on the, in that first half and maybe throws, you know, his quarterback has 8 picks on the season. That's not good. Okay. So if he throws an early pick or two, I think Arkansas, that's going to be the key, is that first half and how he bounces, how he starts off the game with that raucous crowd. But I think it's one of those things where he'll stay close. And then at the end in the fourth quarter, he'll take over, and I think it'll be one of those things where he's just able to take knees at the end and run the clock out with a 6-7 point victory over Arkansas.
Yeah, I really like what the Arkansas coach is doing, but I'm going to take Vegas and Tennessee as well. I think Vegas, his last 4 losses have all been to Jiggy, and then I think season 29, he lost to Smitty, and then he lost to me. Other than that, the dude's pretty hard to beat, so... he knows what he's doing with that team. I'm going to go with Tennessee.
I hope Arkansas wins, so maybe he will get fired. So it'll be Tennessee.
Is that the only reason?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I will have to go against my man, Coach D at Colorado. I don't think he has any clue what he's doing with the Tennessee roster and the team. But having said that, he is very good at the game. I think he wins this game, and I told him at the end of the year, at the start of the season, I thought he'd lose one game, and he lost one game, and I think that's all he'll lose this year.
Oh, almost a clean sweep there. I'm just still sitting on my own island out there. That's fine.
Seems like a common theme.
But we're going to move on to our next game here. It's the Deep South. Oldest rivalry, number 21 Auburn traveling to number 6 Georgia, or D. Kane, head coach at Georgia, and Sneal over in Auburn. Auburn's had a kind of up and down start of the season. Started off great against South Florida SMU, struggled against Clemson, Arkansas, but on the other hand, D. Kane's had a great start, beating Kentucky and beating New Mexico State. So with Auburn traveling to Georgia here, and the rocky start that Auburn's had, I'm going Georgia by at least 3 scores in this game.
Ooh.
I don't know if it'll be 3 scores, but Auburn does not have the quarterback to go into Georgia and win. Just simply don't. And I can't pick in against my boy D. Kane again after he proved me wrong versus Kentucky last time out. So Bulldogs, big.
So, I do have the Bulldogs, but I think it'll be a 1-score game, very tight. I've watched Auburn's coach play, and I've played him multiple times in our league. Great defensive coach, really mixes it up well, very aggressive, and has an excellent D-line in the game. But I just think, again, we talk about it, the home field advantage. ETN bouncing those runs outside as D. Kane just absolutely loves to do. So I will take the Dogs at home by 4 points.
Yeah, I think the Auburn coach, Shiesty, he's a solid coach. He seems like a good dude. I think he's a fellow Georgian like me, but you know, I don't trust Peyton Thorne between the hedges. When I look at that quarterback, he's too one-dimensional. I don't see any way possible that he can take that Auburn team to Georgia and win. Now, if this game was at Auburn, I would consider it, but I think Duquesne's going to have that offense firing and that defense firing too. So I'm going with UGA.
Between the hedges, it ain't going to be a good day for Auburn. I got Georgia by, you can name the score. I think that that defense is so good. The team is so fast, so good. And Auburn, I like Auburn's user. I've played him. And like I think Pat said, you know, he does a good job on defense. He's got a defensive end that is just a freak. But, you know, he's got a defense end that's a freak. And Georgia's got offensive tackles that'll just probably mow him on down. So I got Georgia by at least 21.
Yeah, I think Andy said it, is that if the game was flipped and it was at Auburn, I'd give Auburn a shot just with that home field advantage in the SEC. But I think Duquesne, third season rolling with Georgia's, their defense is so good. I think Auburn's going to have a hard time moving the ball on the offensive side. And so I do have Georgia winning big here.
Is that the last one?
Yeah, bring her home, Penguin.
Alrighty. Well, brings us to our game of the week. Colorado Buffaloes heading down to Orlando to take on the University of Central Florida Golden Knights. It's obviously going to be a heck of a battle, being the history that these coaches have shown that they can do so far and how they use the talents they have at their disposal. UCF has obviously just been dominant on the ground. Colorado has run the ball pretty well in their own right. Plus, Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, just dynamic forces. The really question is going to be for me, does the biggest difference maker in this game, being Hunter, how does he impact the game? We already got the impact. We already know it's going to be mostly on offense from what we gathered from our interviews earlier. And I think that is going to be very telling. I think in the end, UCF is going to be able to run the ball, and Hunter is not going to be part of that factor, and they're going to keep him off the field. And while it's a close game, the Knights take it.
Okay, good pick, Penguin. But I have a little different situation here. I think that we talked about earlier Smitty's user skills. I think maybe Coach D did as well. And that he's going to have to be perfect on those, because the UCF defense is absolute cheeks in this game. They are not good whatsoever. He will have to score on almost, I would think, every possession, regardless of how good the user is in particular, in my opinion. I think Colorado wins it by maybe double digits. Obviously, just saying that to get Smitty riled up. It'll be a great football game. But I do think Colorado wins. Better roster, better defense. Because outside of the, you know, Smitty usering the middle linebacker, the defense cannot run with Colorado's athletes. All the guest pickers, they don't want to pick. I love it.
Oh, I didn't know we could pick. I'm never going to bet against myself, no matter who I play. So. It'll be tough stopping Coach D for sure. I know that he's going to score. I need to be able to get 2 to 3 turnovers to win the game. And I'm going to bet against myself over anybody, no matter who it is, as y'all know. And I think, I will find success somewhere running the football. And if I need to throw it a little bit, I'll throw it a little bit. I got me, by, I think 35 to 31.
And I'll go too. I didn't know the coaches were picking. Obviously, same as Smitty. I'm not going to pick against myself. I was talking about Smitty, I think, before he jumped on. He's obviously one of the best users in the game. But, you know, then Pat mentioned, you know, their defense does have some areas you can expose them. So you know, try to get my passing game going, try to get the running game going, and then just try to play disciplined defense against you know, the flex ball. And that's really what it comes down to. So I'll pick myself. Like Smitty said, it's going to be high scoring. So I'll go with like a 42-38 final.
Yeah, I think you guys hit it on. You guys have kind of already talked about everything. I think the game's going to be close. Their previous matchup was like, I think Smitty had won 31-24. So the game was close. Two different teams. Well, one different team this time. Same coaches. I think it's going to be the same result. It's going to be a win by a score. I think at the end of the day, I think UCF's going to get the running game going. I think they're going to force Colorado into a couple mistakes. You heard Coach Smitty say he needs to force some turnovers. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Shadur's going to look like the real Shadur out there, and he's going to turn the ball over and probably make some silly plays. On the offensive side of the ball, I got UCF winning a close game.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair. I don't think both defenses are going to have any success in stopping either offense. So I just think the two big playmakers on Colorado with Shadur and Travis Hunter, especially Travis Hunter on both sides of the ball, I think that's just going to be a little too much for UCF to handle here. And I'm going to go with Colorado in a tight one with a late touchdown to secure the victory on the road against UCF here.
Thank you, Phony. Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I bet Pat's worried now a little bit. He's sweating.
We're fine. Well, we got this all you means- got this week, Phony. A blind squirrel finds a nut, right? Let's do it.
This is my week.
The innings are going to be really tight next week, or it's going to be over.
Yeah.
No, I really appreciate it, Smitty. Really appreciate it, D-Candy. We wish you guys the best of luck next week. We tentative plan for you guys to play next Tuesday night, I think, is what you guys have stated. We really appreciate you guys coming on the show. Do you guys got anything to say? Parting words?
Go Bills.
No. I just appreciate y'all letting me get on here and talk, man. I enjoyed it.
Same here. Appreciate it, guys.
Y'all have a good weekend.
You as well. Great guests.
Yeah, wonderful guests, wonderful show. Phony Penguin and Pat, as always, appreciate you guys coming on. We will see you guys next weekend.
Sounds good.
Take care, everyone. We'll be right back.